Stand. And we've been talking about the benefits of our salvation. We talked about justification. We've talked about sanctification. We even talked about vindication. We've talked about the benefits of having our salvation, because some people think that salvation is just the golden ticket to heaven. That's not what salvation is. He is alive. He's a living God. He's not just a book. He is alive. He is active. He's relational. And so tonight, while we've already studied about authority and the authority of God, before we start into the armor of God, what I want us to do tonight is just focus in on this word stand. And this is out of Ephesians 3:16. It says, "Therefore, put on the whole full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." Well, the truth is, I try to quote it out of the King James, and so you could hear that coming back out of me, because that's how I learned those things. But when he says therefore, you know what Steve always says, we need to know what it's there for. And so during this time, he's letting us know that because we want to be able to stand, because we want to walk forward in the things of God, we've got to have this position, okay? And I realized, I think Michael not being here has thrown me off, because I realized I didn't bring your notes. So you're just going to have to follow close tonight and stick with it. Sometimes I think that we think stand means to dig your heels in. You know, I'm just going to dig my heels in. I've used that phrase. I'm just going to do this. But really, when he's calling us to stand, it's not a thing where I have to do something to make something happen. It's where I have to obey him so that something happens. And I heard the other day somebody was sharing about someone who's in authority and how they don't like them. And I thought about it, because I like that person a lot. And I got to thinking about it, and it's because when people don't want to follow authority, of course they're not going to like the person in authority. And I got to thinking about it. People were calling them mean. I was like, I don't think that they're mean. But here's the difference. Here's the view. The only time I ever thought my mom was mean was when she told me to do something I didn't want to do. Hello. Or when I disobeyed and I got in trouble by her. Those were the two times my mom was mean. And sometimes I think that we put that off on God, when really the thing is we're disobedient. And I love this. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of his word and those that follow his word, because he is the living word. That's what sets us apart from everyone else. So Luke 6:8 says, "But Jesus knew that what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there." I wanted to bring that to you before we move forward, because I want you to know sometimes God doesn't need you to stand for you. He needs you to stand for him as a testimony of what he's doing. And it doesn't mean that I have to stand pretty. Does it mean that I have to stand perfect? And it doesn't mean that I have to stand in performing mode. Those are extra burdens that the enemy puts on you when you're just trying to believe what God says. And well, how do you think you look? Well, if you'd have done it this way. Or then he comes in with this one's about, oh, well, you know, that didn't look how. Those are burdens. He's just called us to stand. And he's going to teach us how we can stand and what we need to do to stand. But the main thing that I'm seeing in our standing is that Satan wants to separate us from the Word of God. Because he's alive. The Word of God is alive. John 1:1, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And now that the Spirit lives in us, the enemy wants to separate you from what God has said by either causing us to fear him or doubt him, or by causing us to add to what God said with some kind of emotion or some kind of feeling, so that we don't want to get in agreement with it because we no longer trust God. I want to tell you, God is trustworthy. I know that there's things that we can never know that God has saved us from because we couldn't bear it. But sometimes I just wish he'd show me some of that, because I want to be more grateful for the things that he's done that I don't know about, because he's a good God. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, that means have our lives as other men do in fleshly bodies, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. What's that? What's an imagination? Is it real? It's just something you've thought up, right? I love the definition that Steve gave on Sunday about glory to God, because glory means an opinion or a view or a judgment. And the judgment that God wants us to have, the view that he wants us to have, the opinion he wants to have, the resurrection he wants to give us is of our moral understanding of God's word. He wants to resurrect that in us. So while I want to give him glory, I need to have my view, my imaginations, everything put on him. But I got to cast down imaginations, which are reasonings, and every high thing, like a lofty edifice. This is out of the Amplified Bible, which is being raised against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in obedience to Christ. See, in captivity is exactly where Paul was when he's writing this. He's in captivity. And he's watching now in Ephesians, not that chapter we just read in Corinthians, but he's in Ephesians, he's watching in prison, and here are these Roman guards that he's watching, and they put on this armor. And do you know that when you're in battle, you never should take your armor off? Amen? And here we are thinking, maybe I'm the only one, that the armor's just for when I'm going through something. But I need to be sleeping in that armor. I need to be standing in that armor. I need to be so comfortable with that armor that at all times I'm ready to defend myself. And so Paul's watching them and he's like, hey, not just the array, but the authority. Hear it in the spirit, the authority that they carry, because it's not just what they put on, it's who they are. They are now recognizing and they know how to utilize. And so before we get into the full armor of God teaching, I want us to talk about just standing, because we've talked about authority. So there's a few pointers. For those of you who want to take some extra notes, there are 6 things about standing when we want to just stay firm. We need to ask. Psalm 71:4. Express your need to God and ask him to intervene. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked. Guys, do not think that you can fight this battle on your own. That is not an admission of weakness. That is a plea for intercession. And I want to tell you, I think that as Christians, sometimes we think that if we show people our weakness, that we've done something wrong. That's the enemy. He says to go to one another, confess to one another. He says that your brother, we're to help one another, we're to share. But the enemy wants to paint us in these corners so that we don't come out because we're so afraid of what people are going to find out. You know what people are going to find out? I'm flawed and he's not. But that I'm still believing him to help me no matter what I'm going through. And I need to remember, I need to reflect on the ways that God has worked in my life and that he's helped me in the past. Psalm 71:5-6. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I've relied on you. We need to praise him like we were doing before the service started. Glorify God for who he is, because it's going to bring about, it's going to foster, it's going to reinforce that trust between us, because something happens when we praise and we connect, we reconnect with him, that sets aside all the frustration and the burden and the angst of it all. And Psalm 71:6 says, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. We need to appeal, make a request for God to help us based on his character and his faithfulness. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Psalm 71, 2. I remember that my mom, you know, she was in the hospital at the end of her life, and she had fought a battle with cancer. And I think I told you guys before that before a doctor or nurse or anyone, before she'd obey anything they said, they had to say hallelujah 3 times. And so she just said, well, she said, here, I've asked the Lord about it, and I don't want anybody touching me that can't give him praise. So I need you to say hallelujah 3 times, and then I'll do what you're telling me. Well, this very self-confident doctor came in, and self-reliant doctor. And I was like, oh, how's this going to roll? So my dad was sitting there, and, you know, my dad's just like, she's crazy. So this doctor came in, and he just started in right away. Now, blah, 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 blah. And my mother said, now, wait a minute. She said, first of all, you're going too fast. And second of all, you did not say hallelujah 3 times. And the doctor looked at her like, and he just started in again. And she said, I can't hear you. You need to say hallelujah 3 times. And I watched my mom stand firm in this. You with me? But it was an appeal to people because she didn't want anybody touching her that hadn't touched God first. And this is what happened. My dad looked at the doctor. He said, she crazy. And the doctor went, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And she said, well, you didn't say it like you meant it, but I'm good. You can start now. But she stood firm in that. And you know what? My mom was not crazy, because she had made an appeal to God to touch her, and he had told her that he wanted praise out of that room before anything else. So I took the night shift with mom, and I would come in about 6 or 7 at night, and I would leave at 6 or 7 in the morning. So I'm walking down the hall, and they would let me go through the back exit where the nurses were, because that was safer parking. And because I was there all night, if I had to leave, they wanted me in that parking lot. Small town. It's nothing like it. So I'm going back through the back, and I hear these two nurses. And she said, well, the x-ray machine's down today. It's not working. And she goes, oh, are you kidding? She's like, I'm going to be backed up today. And she said, well, why don't we do like Miss Bowman says and just say hallelujah? And they started laughing. Well, I wanted to rip through that. I was like, my mother's fighting for her life. You know, I'm just in the flesh, right? I'm not seeing the bigger picture. But God let me hear it. And so they said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they started laughing. And then you heard, and she went, oh, it's working. And I just opened that door. I said, and don't forget it. Just walked out, you know. But there was an appeal to listen to God. My mom stood firm on what she had heard. And God got the glory. And I want to tell you, it was a testimony to my father as well. To see that you could stand for what you believe, you may be mocked for it. You might be persecuted for it. Certainly today, people are even suing over it. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to take care of you, and the seed of truth is always going to come back. So while I'm standing firm, I can also know that where I need to put my hope, my place. Psalm 71:14 says, put your hope and trust in God to work in your circumstances. But as for me, I will always have hope. Is that easy? Is it easy to have hope? I know I'm talking to the right crowd here tonight, because I'm telling you there is a pressing that is happening to people in the spirit. I know that we are taking some turf. And you're like, well, you know, you don't have but a handful of people in church tonight. Do you know what? More wars have been won with less people that are in this room. Okay? The odds are in our favor. If it's just me and you, Miss Pat, the odds are in our favor. And if we got the threefold cord, we're really working it, okay? But the thing is, we have to put our hope in him. I don't know that I'm always going to have hope, but I can always ask him to help me with what I don't have. That is, I'm telling y'all, Do not let the enemy coerce you into believing that your weaknesses are failures to the kingdom of God, when the word clearly says he's made provision for your weakness, because when you're weak, that's when he's what? Ooh, A plus class, A plus. That's right. So why should I let him put that on me? Well, you're just an idiot. Yes, I am. And you know what? That reminds me. I'm going to study that word more. I'm going to dig into that relationship more. I'm going to root myself in this place that I'm going to put my hope in the Lord, because all I ever get from you is accusation, condemnation, and guilt. And I need to be set free of that stuff. And then there's an anticipation that happens. Psalm 71:21. Watch for God to work. Anticipate his deliverance. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. It comes down to, who do I believe? You know, here's the thing. Sometimes I believe God, and I can say I believe his word. Stay with me. But the reason we're tested is to know if I believe it or not, and to know how far I'm going to let that come into my life. I'm at this place where I'm saying this with God, because I know as children, right? He's the Father, we're the children. As children, we took advantage of our parents. That, do this, I don't want to do it. Do it, no, there's a consequence. So we'd do it. But I also knew if I didn't do it right, my dad was going to go back and make me do it right. But I knew that my dad was not going to hate me at the end of the day. I had that confidence. Well, this is where I want to be. I don't want to be using the armor, the authority, and the love that he has for me so that I can stand until things get hard and then run and gripe and complain and find five people who'll pity me on the back and say, bless your little heart, it's so hard, and you have it so hard. And then where I get that emotional stroking, and then I'm like, well, okay, now I'm good. I'm ready to come back to the Lord. I'm so done with that. I want to know what it's like to stand and believe what God says without needing that emotional run back and forth just because I know he's going to love me. I want to know what it really feels like to stand. And I know this is crazy, okay? But the other day I'm out walking the street, you know. I'm not a street walker. But I was walking the streets. And I was out, you know, and I'm going like door to door, and I'm just in the middle of, it's just a mess. And so I just stood, and the wind was blowing. This is no joke. I'm on Stanley Keller, and I just stood there, and I just said, God, I just want to feel you. I just want to stand in you right now. I just need you to speak to me. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to get in that car and just say I've done enough. I'm going to stay faithful, but I just need you to speak to me. And the wind just began to blow. And I just stood there and I thought, I'm just going to stand here with my eyes closed, because that's what faith does. So I have my eyes closed and I'm just standing there. And I've already been to, you know, all the houses on this side of the street. But I'm just standing there looking like an idiot, and I don't care. Really? I'm thinking I'm never going to see half these people again in my life, right? And by the way, Lee Evans told me, she said, honey, you told me that one time when I was embarrassed. And then the next store we went in, we saw those people again. I was like, well, you know, can't win them all. But I'm standing there and my eyes are closed. And all of a sudden I hear somebody yelling. So I'm thinking somebody's in trouble. And I look over and there's this man down the street. And I've already been to his house. And he's like, hey, lady, hey, lady. I turned around and I looked. And he's like, do you want to put one of those signs in my yard? I was like, yes, because I'm not like the, can I, you know, no, I'm not that girl. And I was like, okay. So I was all excited, and I got ready to turn around, and the Lord said, did you do anything to earn that? And I said, no. He said, what did you do? And I said, I stood still, and I closed my eyes, and I didn't put my hand to it. And he said, don't ever forget it, kid. And the breeze was just for kicks to cool you down. I want to tell you something. God is a detailed God. And I want to know what it's like to stand and not take advantage of his love for me, but to stand and see the salvation of the Lord, not just for me, but for other people, to keep them encouraged too. Abraham Lincoln says, be sure you put your feet in the right place and then stand firm. Do you think that was easy for him? Does this world want us to stand firm on anything? Oh, I found they do. Thank you. If it's hate-filled, they're all on it. You guys know I've been preaching, probably not teaching, but preaching this for at least 3 months. The reason the world is fueled, it's passion. You have to have a passion to get something done. Can we agree on that? That we have to have a motivation of something. And the world is being fueled right now because all they have is hatred, because God is what? Love. And he wants us to love. And he wants us to love unconditionally. And I get it. I know what I've already said. God's not, he doesn't have a preference of people, but he does have preference on what's going on with his word in those people. Because there's things he can't honor. Just because my mom and dad loved me didn't mean that they honored my disobedience. But they stood with me and they covered me. Man, I want to tell you something. We're coming to this time where people don't want God, they don't know about God, and their luxury and their entertainment and their strokings and their getting their fuel without God is rage and passion based in hatred. And it's like bloody shark water. The first draw of blood, something horrible, people just jump on it and they feed on it. And that's what you and I are facing in this world. But I don't care if my light is just this. Everything around me has to yield to that spirit of God in me. Everything. And I forget that it's him when I let the enemy tell me it's me. Well, you're standing, but you really don't believe what you're saying, do you? Well, you're standing, but you're kind of a hypocrite. Because you know you're not being so faithful to God. Well, you're standing, but how do you think you really look to people? Well, you're standing, but if you were going to, no. Every time he comes in with there's a B-U-T, I want to tell you, before understanding, trust. That's my big B-U-T. Before understanding, trust. And that's what I want to do. God, I don't want to add to it. I just want you to know that I trust you. But God, there is nothing wrong, guys. There's a Mark 9:23 and 24 in the Bible for a reason. When he says, I know that you can heal her, if, and he says, Jesus says, if, he says, all things are possible if you believe. Right there, if the enemy had his way, if he was true, Jesus would have walked away and said, oh, you doubted. But he didn't. He still healed. And then when he comes back in verse 24 and he says, but Lord, help my unbelief. Guys, you're still standing. He's still standing. He's still seeking from God what he knows he can get nowhere else. He's just being honest. Did God reject him for his questioning? Did God say, well, that won't work because of you? No, it worked because of Jesus, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now the Word lives in my flesh and your flesh through the Spirit of the living God. And we still have the same authority to say, I'm done. I'm done. But here's the difference. I'm going to be done in that I'm sick of listening to the noise. I'm going to be done in that I'm tired of second-guessing who I am based on someone else's opinion. Because here I've been praying for weeks, God, may you get the glory. God, all glory belongs to you. God, yes, get the glory. The glory is the view. It is the opinion. It is the judgment that comes through me about him. And if I'm running, what's that saying about him? Just stand. I love the story of Samson. Samson didn't do everything right. Samson messed up. They took his eyes out, gouged him out, put him in the middle. Listen, the enemy positioned him in the middle of thousands of people to humiliate him. The enemy positioned him for God to show his power. And they positioned him to mock him at the very place of their weakness. And whenever people come at you with mocking, whether it's the enemy to you in your ear, or whether it's a group of people or your family that you've tried to help, or a group in an office, or whoever it is, wherever the place of your weakness is, when you cry out to the Lord, it's going to be the thing that delivers you. Because you and I are going to walk through those places and we're going to come out with the glory of God. I still have the view, I still have the opinion, and I still have the judgment that there's something good in you because I know what he's done for me. And anytime we begin to think we're better than somebody else, it's time to remember who we are then. So we recognize, I want that person to have the same grace and mercy that I know I'm going to need later. So I'm not going to get in agreement with the enemy. I'm still going to speak life. And Samson got in the middle of this place, and they had made fun of all the Philistines, and they had made fun of these people because of how he had killed them and what he'd done when he could see. And when they found his weakness, when they found his weakness, and then they gouged out his eyes so they couldn't see, because the enemy wants you to know he's going to find your weakness, and he's going to blind you to the fact of where your real power is. And Samson stood in the middle. They had him strapped to two poles that were holding up the whole place. Because right in the middle of adversity is the weakness of the enemy. Because God has the hedge of protection around us. Oh, I want to tell you. He prayed and he said, God, and they're mocking and laughing. And some versions say that, you know, up in the upper decks, you know, the Colosseums today have nothing on them. Because theirs were hand done. Like every piece hand done. And when they're up there, like 3,000 were over 3,000 men, women, and children were in the balcony. Keep listening with spiritual ears. And then the king and all the people there strutting what they think they'd done. All the people today who are saying they're snuffing out God. They're going to show us as weak. We can't see what they've got planned. We can't see what's ahead. All we can do is hear their snares and their sneers and their little mocks about who God is and who he isn't. And we're so afraid to speak the word of God because what if God doesn't come through? Let me tell you what, if God doesn't come through when I say it, he's going to come through when he says it. And Samson stands there and he said, just give me the strength. Lord, please give me the strength. I'll die with them. I don't care. But just give me the strength to give you the glory. And he pushes those poles apart with all his might and they begin to bow and the top rows fall in on the bottom rows. And the Bible says that more were killed in that one time than he did in his entire life. And so I think that's why Revelation says, and they love not their lives even to death. The best thing that could happen to me, the best thing that can happen to me is to go home. I'm not talking about up the street. I'm not talking about getting there by no car. I'm talking about in the twinkling of an eye. And I want you to know, I'm not suicidal and I'm not depressed, but I don't love this world. I got a house full of junk I'd love to get rid of, and I'm ashamed that I love junk. Really, I am. And sometimes I still get caught up in that stuff. And I just walk out in that garage to go say, oh, geez, help me, Lord. Now, I'm trying to be creative. I'm going to give y'all an idea here. And I think we could come up with something. But you're going to have to tithe if I'm going to give you the idea. I'm just saying. Right? You ain't free tonight. Here's the thing. How about if instead one of those auction things, we just box all our stuff up and take a picture of it. And so we get somebody to haul it off, and we don't have to have a garage sale and have somebody nickel and dime us to death. We just put it all in boxes and show a few little choice prime items and say, come and take this. If you'll come and take it, I'll give it all to you for $200. And they'll haul your junk off and pay you. Now, I think there's something to it. But okay. But I think there's something in the spirit to be said for it, too. Because I'm still standing and I'm telling him, God, sometimes I doubt you. But you know what he says to me? Was there ever a time that you said to your dad on earth, I'm scared that he didn't at least come when you called to show you and turn a light on? And I was like, no. Now my mom, she would yell, get over it. Couldn't be asleep. But my dad would come. Do you think my earthly dad is better than my heavenly dad? I think he wants us to stand tonight. And I think he wants us to stand for him. And I want you to know tonight that pettiness, emotion, stuck in the past, and stuck in my opinion, is standing in quicksand. It's not the rock. If I'm in Jesus, and the Word says I'm his righteousness, I'm in him, and he's in me, and that Spirit is in me. If I'm standing inside of Christ, the Word says he's the rock. So if I'm standing inside him, and I'm just standing, Michael, I'm so firm in where I am because I don't have to protect me. He will. Had somebody walk up to me in the grocery store and say something to me that absolutely wasn't true. And I said, where'd you hear such a thing? Well, you know, I heard it, you know. Listen, if you're going to talk to me, you better give me a name. Because I do not dance in the shadows, and that's biblical. And so I just looked at him, I said, well, I don't know. All I can tell you is this. I said, I don't need to make anybody look bad to make me look good. And anytime anybody needs to put somebody down so they can look good, it's because they're either insecure or unqualified. And I want to tell you, sir, I know who I am, and I don't need to do it. He said, I believe you. I said, you should, because I'm telling you the truth, and you can tell everybody my name with it. I want to tell you, there's something to be said when I know I'm in the rock and I'm not in quicksand. Pettiness, what are they going to say about me? Fear, oh, is that going to come back this way? Emotion, I don't know if I can trust that guy or not. If God puts them in front of me, if God brought them to me, God is going to give me wisdom either to be quiet, when to walk away, or he's going to give me what to say. Because, folks, there's things that's going to happen in this world that you and I aren't going to have a script for. But I got the Word, the living Word living in me, and I'm confident of this. When I stand, I'm standing on the rock. And when I stand, though the world around me go, this rock does not shake. I may be shaking on it, but I'm going to stand firm. You know why? Because he balances out whatever's wrong in me. Well, now, how does that work? I'll tell you how it works. He gives me grace and mercy till I can get in a line with him, as long as I'll stay with him. There were times when I was scared of something and I'd run behind my... I remember being literally a child and running behind him, pulling my dad's pants leg and hiding behind him. Right? But hiding in him gave me confidence. He didn't know what I was running from and he didn't care. And I just feel this little... My dad was not a huggy-feely guy. I know y'all can't believe that about me, but he wasn't. That probably explains a lot about me to you. But he'd give these little firm pats where you weren't sure if you were being hit or loved on. And he was like, and I was like, oh, okay, that means it's okay. And he would just leave me there until I was okay. I want to tell you, I have found his favor in the cleft of the rock. And when I'm in that rock, my back is covered. When I'm in that rock, I don't have to worry about predators coming because he takes me to places that they can't go. But I got to get rid of pettiness. I got to get rid of fearing emotionally. I don't know if I can do that or not, because if people see you and me standing, they're going to stand. Red, your testimony that you're ashamed of is the very thing that's going to set your own kids free. Because they have a mom who said, I am not going to raise you the way that I was, and I'm going to tell you where the traps are and where the pitfalls are, because you're not going to have my scars. And I'm going to tell you who's going to help you. It's God. And the world's going to keep you from help, and I'm going to lead you to it. And because you're standing, they're going to stand. Will they get everything perfect? No. No. But will he reject them? No. A broken spirit, a contrite heart, Lord, please help me. He's not going to reject that. And we're discounting what God has done in our life. We're saying that our failures are bigger than God, when God is wanting us to know your failure, your falling back is the very thing that's going to give me glory. I just want you to stand there and let me be glorified, because you're still standing. You're still believing. I want to share with you what it means to stand. These are some things that I wrote down. It means that we're going to be attacked and we don't need to retreat to former things. That's what it means to stand. Don't go back to what you're comfortable with. It didn't work or you'd still be there. It means that we must not be frightened. That's Savannah Chapel. Y'all look out for her. She'll come around here and scare you in this church. It means that we must not droop or slouch, nor be uncertain or half-hearted in the fight. It means that no self-pity is allowed. Because what happens when you start drooping and pretty soon you wilt? And he says, if you faint not, what's going to happen? Who knows it? If you don't faint, you're going to reap your harvest in due season. Just don't faint. All you got to do is stand there. Standing means that we need balance. If you don't have balance, you can't stand. Here's some balance we need as Christians. We need to rest. We need to rest. We need to physically say, you know what? How can I be a conqueror for Christ if I can't turn the TV off? Was that too clothesline or rough? Because, you know, there it is. Ooh, did she say it? Yeah, she said it. Turn your game off. Turn the TV off. Y'all need to implement No Tech Tuesday. Telling you. You need to implement it in your house and say, when you get home, all those things go in a basket. Mine's going in the basket too. And the one that's the emergency number, we'll listen to in case somebody's in trouble, but we're just checking it. That one, the rest of them are down. We're done. We're not watching television. We're not going to watch a movie, DVD. We're not going to the red box. We're going to the Lord. And we're just going to sit here and visit. And then we're going to rest. We're going to rest. I need just one cross. That's how you have balance. He did not call me to carry your cross. And he did not call you to carry my cross. He said, take up your cross. And we have got ourselves caught up in some causes that are not of God. Guys, we are literally, I'm watching people try to be saviors for people and figure things out for them. I can't do it. And I'm not going to lead them to hell because I think I'm worried about what they're going to think about me. And that doesn't mean that I need to go around blasting people and telling them they're going to hell. But I can tell you this, I can say this. And it's caught more people, and more people listen to me when I say this. You know, I never found anybody that worked for. Have you? Does that condemn anybody? Did that judge anybody? But all I have to do when they're saying, you don't understand, I'm so caught up, I just whatever. Well, you know what? I don't know anybody that's really ever worked for. Do you? And you just get them to thinking about that. And then you say, you know, all I know is I've made some big mistakes, but I found out that every time I go to God, I get the love, acceptance, and forgiveness I need. You're not going to get a deal like that anywhere else on earth. And that's balance. I'm just going to stand and trust Him. It means that we're at our position and we're alert. Everybody's looking at the clock now. Ooh, they're screaming. That's okay. Let them have fun. Miss Shelley getting a break. Let them have some fun. It means that we are at our position. It means that we do not give even a thought to retreat. Because if you are thinking about retreating, you're going to throw yourself off balance and you're going to fall. It means that we can't go to sleep. I'm not in sleep mode. If I'm standing, I'm awake. Because if I'm falling asleep, I'm going over. Y'all just be sure of that. And may I just say this, don't prepare in case you fall and put pillows all around you because you just reminded yourself that you can fall and you're just working it so that you're comfortable in case you do because you've made up your mind you're not going to be able to stand all the time. How do I know what I'm going to do till I try? It means that you don't get to change your position. If I tell you tonight, I love the Lord, I'm encouraged by Him. I believe what He said. I'm fighting these battles in my head, but I still believe Him. I want you to know that I'm not changing my position and going over somewhere else and getting in on somebody else because they're making $5,000 The Lord can bring me what I need where I am, and until he tells me to go, I'm not going. I'm not going to change my position. I'm standing. And it means that no sight is required. Do you need to be looking to stand? You don't need to worry about what you're seeing and what's going on in the world. And what I've told more people, turn the news off. If you can't, hear me, I mean it. If you can't hear the news and stretch your hand out and take authority over that and start praying for Hollywood instead of hating on them and start praying for political people instead of hating on them, that's your call to prayer. If you can't do it, turn it off. It's got more control over you than you do over it. But it says in Timothy that we should pray for our leaders that we'll be at peace. You know why we're not at peace? Thank you. We're not praying. We're gossiping. We're talking. We're freaking out. I'm almost done. It means that you do what's possible. To stand just means you do what's possible. He's not asking me to do anything impossible. And I promise you this. I know this to the core of my being. There are times when I don't want to stand. I want to run. There are times when I'm weary and I've said, God, I know you say don't faint. You're going to have to bring in some help. I'm just a mental mess right now. God, what's going on? And he'll begin to speak his word to me, and I'll repeat back what the enemy said to him. You ever do that? Like he says, you know, the other day I was praying, he said Isaiah 42, and I went to, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, not 61, that's in there too, but 42. You know, I've anointed you. I was like, how can you anoint me? I'm in here bawling my eyes out because I'm so insecure. And he's like, Gay, who is that? Who is that talking to me right now? It's the devil. He's like, you know, right. Who am I? I'm like, you're the all-powerful God. You're the mighty. You don't make mistakes. If you said I'm powerful, I'm powerful. If you said I'm anointed, I'm anointed. And before you know it, the thing's off of me. But I got to know who I'm believing. And when you stand, you can't have a different position than the one you already have. And I don't need to see it all and know it all. And when it stands, it means that you're not in a position to surrender. When I'm standing, I'm not in a position to surrender. When a policeman tells you to surrender, he's going to put you over a car, against a building, or he's going to say, drop to your knees, or get on your face, or any of those things. But when I'm standing, guys, that's not a position of surrender. That's a position of my turf, back off. That's a position of authority. And when I stand in his authority, not my man-made, but in his authority, everything's going to be okay. The combat for which we are to be prepared for is not against ordinary human enemies. Don't see a face. Don't think about a name. Friend of mine called me and she's like, you know, this has happened and this has happened. And what I was like, why do you care? Well, because they took from me. Did they take your life? No. Did they take your position? You're still the wife. You're still the mom. Did they take your position? No. Did they take your future with God from you? No. Did they take what God has given you on this earth, your power and your authority? Did they take that? No. Then quit thinking about them because you've won. I just hear the Lord saying that over us. Quit thinking about these things. You've already won. You're going to have what I say you can have. You're going to be who I say you can be. All I'm asking you to do is stand, because there's a big stampede of a lot of people dancing around and acting wild and crazy around you. There's smoke and fog everywhere. Close your eyes. Quit looking at the smoke. Quit looking at the fog. Close your eyes. And when it's over, open your eyes and you're going to see clearly. You're standing at the finish line. And that's when I'm going to tell you to take a step of faith and move forward with me. But I got to learn to stand first. I didn't say stand pretty. I didn't say stand perfect. And I didn't say stand performing. God just needs me to stand believing. And that's what I want you to do with me tonight. Would you stand? Our faith in Him is being tested this way. Just stay with me. Think about it. Think about situations you're in. We're being tempted to judge other people. We're being tempted to be petty. We're being tempted to have a right. Can you even hear that a Christian would even, that I would even say that? But we're so ingrained in this world and our rights that we've bypassed God to get what we need. Are we that deceived? I want us tonight to stand firm and not stand in quicksand. And I want you to do this with me. I want you, if you're like me and you're just saying, God, this is a place where I want to stand and I want to see you move. I want to see you do some things. I want you just to lift your hand, at least one, two if you're like wanting double portion. Lord, tonight I'm just releasing those things that I know the enemy has weighted on me, W-E-I-G-H-E-D. He's trying to weight me down so that I cannot stand. I want you to know tonight, God, that I give those things to you as a sacrifice of praise. All that place where I've invested emotion, where I've invested anger, frustration, doubt, and fear, I'm giving that to you as a gift, because I want you to know my faith is greater in you than in those things that have been holding me back. And God, I want it to go, and I want the whatever was yesterday, I want to learn from it. I want it to be a testimony, but I don't want to revisit the garbage. Deliver us tonight, God, from yesterday, so that I can stand firm today, just today, and have peace and rest in my spirit and in my body. I believe that the enemy's been trying to attack bodies because he knows that you have a purpose and he wants you to be stopped. And if you're not going to stop one way, he's going to try another. He cannot have authority over your body. Father, I stand in agreement tonight with my brothers and sisters. I'm standing and believing for Cassie tonight, God. Deliver her from grief. I stand and believe with her tonight, God, that a spot is not cancerous, that a spot is nothing but a shadow, and you're going to put your light on it, and whether it was or it wasn't is irrelevant. You are her healer. Touch her in her body right now. And Lord, we just lift up by faith tonight the arms of people like Moses who are weary from standing in the battle. God, we lift them up and not judge them and persecute them from within the church, God. We no longer fault find. God, this is holy ground. And we're going to give you praise on this ground. And we're going to stand. And we're going to see the salvation of God. And we're going to trust you. I pray right now over every mind and every heart that they will be in sync with the Spirit of God. That you will no longer doubt your authority, but you will walk in submission to the Spirit of God without fear of man or without condemnation to yourself. God, we're just trusting you right now. I'm telling you, some of you don't believe you're productive. Keep standing. You're going to see a victory. Don't cave. Your emotion is wanting you to cave in. Don't do it. Stand. Use the authority of God. Don't get caught up in pettiness and emotion. Tonight, Lord, we stand. We stand for you. Strengthen us tonight, God. Let my body be able to do what I need to accomplish for the kingdom. Lord, let my mind be in agreement with what you say for the glory of the kingdom of God. And Lord, I want you to know, I can trust you. I can trust you because you are faithful. Only my fear of the future tells me you can't do it. But I can turn around and tell the devil he's a liar in every place I've already walked. You've been faithful. And that's what I'm standing in agreement with. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. Deliver us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage you tonight. Keep praying for one another. Pray for Steve. He just didn't sleep at all last night. He's really hurting today and, you know, up and down with whatever. Just pray, you know. Undergird him in prayer. God will bless you for it. But I just want Pete Sr., you may not be the first, but you're the senior. Come on down. We're so glad to have you here tonight. We're so glad to have you here tonight. You know, could some of you guys just come around and let's pray? Yeah? Anna, how about you come stand in for Teresa, his beautiful wife? You know, we call your name in prayer, but when we have the opportunity to touch you and believe for you and with you, we should seize that opportunity. Let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. You guys just begin to pray over them, whatever the Lord tells you.